KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM, live and local, presents The On-Air Chat. And now, here are your hosts, Aaron Harder and Ron Thomas.
And a beautiful Wednesday morning to all. Welcome to The On-Air Chat. We are brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction. For commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more, call Bruce Davis Construction, 620-342-5001. Good morning, Ron Thomas.
Morning, Aaron. How are you doing?
I am doing fantastic.
Glad to hear it. How was your little trip out west?
It was once in a lifetime.
Pacific Northwest, more specifically.
Pacific Northwest.
Beautiful country, isn't it?
It is absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. And
they have really nice golf courses, too.
Do they?
Yes, they do.
We'll take your word for that. So how'd you play? Good?
Mediocre.
Still, doesn't matter, does it?
Did not. I didn't even really care, Ron.
Well, good to have you back.
It's good to be back.
Yeah. Looking forward to, well, big day today on the Emporia State campus, a little groundbreaking up there today.
Yeah, it is. T-minus 50 minutes here.
And Nursing and Student Wellness Center. Boy, that is a fast-track deal. That will be built and operational in just a little over a year.
Yeah. You usually hear 18 months when you get into projects like that, and they're ready to go so people can get it in there next year.
Yeah, $23 million privately funded. That's exceptional.
Yeah, so. I mean, the state and our tax dollars didn't have to do any of it, and it's going to be a world-class building. It's going to be a great addition for the campus up there.
Public invited, 11 o'clock, Emporia State campus here this morning. So if you have a couple of minutes, it's going to be a beautiful morning to get out and be a part of the festiveness there.
It will be great. And then 24 hours later, Governor Kelly coming to town.
Yep. Granada Theater. If you want to attend, email Casey Woods at Emporia Main Street.
Yeah, I think Governor Kelly's doing a little tour from 11 to 11:30, and then she'll be at the Granada Theater at 11:30.
It'll be short-lived. Don't be late, or you'll miss her. It's only about 25 minutes.
Yeah, a normal governor's or senator's visit.
Yeah. So she'll be there and be gone in less than a half hour, but who knows? Maybe she'll stay longer than that.
She could. Good conversation here in Emporia. So we got good conversation here, too, Ron.
We do. Crosswinds Counseling and Wellness. I'll be learning something today. I had no idea that this service from Crosswinds was provided, but I guess we'll both kind of dive in here today.
Yeah, I think in the past programs, Amanda and Lucas have kind of hinted at it, but I'll bet you it's one of the areas of Crosswinds that they probably know the least about themselves. And I'm not going to give away any head nods. So let's welcome in Tara Gifford. Good morning, Tara.
Good morning.
Give us your title.
I am a criminal justice mental health liaison, and I am the liaison for Osage County Jail as well as Lyon County Probation.
Okay. Give us a little bit of background from you. How'd you get to where you are now?
I'm local to the area. Grew up in Greenwood County. After college, spent 3 years with Emporia Police Department and then 6 years with Lyon County Sheriff's Office. And then in the fall of 2019, I transitioned into this criminal justice mental health liaison position.
Was it just opening then? Was there not one prior to at Crosswinds, or was there one?
There was one position, and it started here at Lyon County. Our positions opened up to start in our six surrounding counties' jails.
Around that time?
Yep.
And you enjoy it?
I do.
It's been
really good.
Thanks for joining us. Let's also welcome Chastity Zexer.
Good morning.
Did I say it right?
You did.
Awesome. Good morning, Chastity.
Good morning.
Give us a little background on yourself.
Yes. I grew up in Greenwood County, born and raised, so never left the area.
Did you guys know each other?
Did not.
Okay. We did not, no.
You do now.
Yes, we do. I've always had a passion for criminal justice, got my degree in that, worked for the correctional facility for about 6 years or so. Was part of their SWAT team, participated in their hostage negotiations, really enjoyed that. Decided to step away with my family. It took away a lot of time and saw these positions And so now I have an opportunity to work with clientele and hopefully provide them resources to keep them out of the fence, per se. Yeah, and so that's kind of my goal and my passion.
So what is your title right now?
So my title right now is the same as Tara's, a criminal justice mental health liaison. And I serve three jails currently, Greenwood County, Chase County, and Coffee County.
That's probably enough to keep you busy, huh?
Absolutely.
So what are your specific responsibilities?
So we meet with all the clients that come into the facilities. They are given a screening called a brief jail mental health screen. There's questions on there. It's an accredited, validated screening tool based off the Stepping Up initiative. And if they answer yes to certain questions, it kind of screens them as positive. And so we meet with them to see if they want mental health services or not. And that's kind of a one basis. That's not the only reason we would meet with somebody. We screen their name to see if they've been in our database previously or not. They might have been an active client prior and not anymore and just kind of fallen off and see if they want services again to reengage. So we just follow up with them, see if they want to reengage in services, if they would like medication clinic, if they just need help with coping skills. We're working on trying to focus on more of a reentry aspect as well. So we have housing we're working on with them, IDs, lots of things.
Getting their insurance reinstated when they release, because most individuals, if they come in with CanCare or insurance down that line, their insurance will stop functioning as soon as they come into the jail. So when they get out, that's another barrier for them to receive services or start services back up, is getting that insurance turned back on.
Do you guys screen everyone? Does it matter if they're convicted or not? Does it matter what they are arrested for or not?
Yeah, how soon does that process start?
Most jails are doing it as they're booked in.
First thing?
Yep. So part of the Stepping Up initiative was for our jails to take these eight brief jail mental health screen questions and initiate them at booking. So they'll ask them the questions. It'll be logged however that jail logs them. And then we'll check in with them when we go to the jail to see who screened what. If they screen positive, we'll meet with them. The jail staff could say, hey, can you meet with so-and-so? We think they could benefit. Or even law enforcement who dealt with them out on scene would be like, hey, it might not hurt for you to check in with them and see if we can provide services. And then we even, if we miss them, like if it's a quick book-in and they bond out or release before we get to the facility, we will call and follow up if we have a phone number to be like, hey, this is who we are, what we do. Is there anything we can do for you or guide you in the direction of, like, if they're out of our service area, to a local community behavioral health center?
And you guys also, is there another team or another gal that also works with folks that are in jail or not? So would that person be the one that's actually following up with the care once they're actually released? Or is that still on you? Once they're booked into the jail, they're on you all the way through?
Correct. We are starting, as Chastity said, the reentry process, and that'll be our liaison, Lindsay. She is taking over Coffee County within the next month or so to take one off of Chastity's plate, as well as reentry for all seven of our counties. And she's really starting to build the program for us so we can work together, but to see what we could provide for individuals when they release. If we get them into our services, then obviously they'll be with a therapist and hopefully eventually case management if they get it, because that's not something we can provide while in jail because of the insurance piece, but we can definitely make the referral. But a lot of it is on us while they're in jail as far as what release looks like, what we can provide while they're in jail, and just kind of fall in court and when they'll bond out.
You've mentioned stepping up a few times. Let's talk a little bit about the stepping up initiative. I assume it's a federal initiative.
It's a national initiative. Kansas is one with, or we're growing as the years, because we've been in it 2 years now, almost 2 years, and more counties are becoming part of that initiative. But that is how our position started. It was the Stepping Up Initiative grant. So that's how we got five of us.
Yes.
The whole group in and started. That way we could get our groundwork set. And now Crosswinds has taken that over and we're functioning through them.
What are the goals of it?
So there's four key goals for it. It's to reduce the number of bookings for severe mental illness, shorten average length of stay, increase connection to care, and reduce recidivism. So we're really trying to catch people that may be coming into jail or having the domino effect of something mental health related that's causing them to come into jail. If we can wrap them in services and really help the mental health aspect, it'll ultimately try to keep them from coming back into jail. That way it's not loading the criminal justice system and it's helping them.
And with that piece, we have, in most counties, we have monthly meetings that consist of a lot of community stakeholders, judges, court service, probation staff, sheriff, jail admin. It just kind of depends on, you want those pertinent stakeholders around the table. So it depends on the community that you're in, because each community is a little bit different. That consists of your Stepping Up Committee. So we have those meetings monthly. Some communities are a little bit different, but we do meet and we discuss what we our goals are for each community. And we have things we're working towards in each jail. And we keep data so that we can see what we're doing, if it's working, or what we might need to change and kind of close in on the gaps.
Do you find that a lot that have been incarcerated are willing to accept the help that that you're offering, or is it tough to sometime reach these folks?
I find that they're very willing to accept the help. Most of them struggle with it once they release a little bit because of not having an ID. If you don't have an ID, it's hard to get a job. It's just kind of that vicious cycle and the broken system.
Yeah, because most of the time, like when you release, it's easy while in jail because your basic needs are being met. But when you release and you don't have your basic needs like housing, food, and those types of things, it's hard to focus on continuing your mental health services or any kind of medical or work or anything like that, because they're just solely trying to focus on, where am I going to sleep? What am I going to eat? So we really try. There are some that aren't interested, and we'll just try to build a rapport.
Sure.
But it's ultimately up to them if they want to continue in services or start services with us. We just try to let them know that Crosswinds is here, especially in our outer counties. I had a lot of that because I started the program in Morris-Waubunsee and Osage County, in those jails and with the law enforcement there. And a lot of people that I had contact with didn't even know Crosswinds was in the community. So this is a big way of being like, hey, we're local. You don't have to go to Topeka. You don't have to go somewhere else for these services.
Let's take our first break. Excuse me. We'll get into some more of the specific services that you gals are doing. You're listening to the On Air Chat. We're brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction. This is KVOE. We are live and local.
Warmer weather means it's time to tackle those spring and summer construction projects. When you need commercial dirt work, from demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis will give you a quality job. Bruce Davis Construction is proud to be involved in recent construction jobs, including the addition at Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendale, and the David Trailer Zoo. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 620-342-5001.
KVOE reminds you that Welch Stadium will be the site for the Division II Men's and Women's Outdoor Track and Field Championships May 23rd through the 25th. Expect some great competition, great events, and a chance to cheer on your Hornets. For more info, visit NCAA.com.
KVOE 1400 AM 96.9 FM, and time now for a look at headlines from the 24-hour KVOE newsroom and a look at all the latest local headlines. Here is Chuck Samples.
Good morning, everybody. Emporia State University in a celebratory mood today, and with good reason. Groundbreaking this morning for Emporia State's new nursing and student wellness building on the east side of Kramer Hall and just south of the Morse Complex. Meanwhile, Kansas Governor Laura Kelly will be spending part of her day tomorrow in Emporia as she ends her Medicaid expansion town hall tour with a short stop in Emporia starting at 11 and a short conference at the Emporia Granada Theater specifically starting at 11:40. And the Human Regional Health Board of Trustees gearing up for a busy stretch today with its monthly meeting 3 p.m. plus its strategic planning retreat taking place on Monday. KVOE forecast from the TV 13 weather team. Sunshine all day today with a high of 72, and then the way it appears, stormy conditions off and on from tonight all the way through Sunday evening. Multiple rounds of severe weather are at least possible, including tomorrow morning, and we're talking before sunrise. So stay with KVOE, KVOE.com, and KVOE social media for details. I'm Chuck Samples, KVOE News.
Currently, we do have partly sunny skies, 65 degrees at KVOE Live and Local.
Welcome back to the On Air Chat. Ron Thomas, Aaron Harder hosting, visiting with a couple of criminal justice mental health liaisons from Crosswinds Counseling and Wellness, Tara Gifford and Chastity Zexer, excuse me. Ladies, let's dive a little bit into all of the services that you guys provide, how they work, the partnerships that you have with them, and then we can get into the reentry program and stuff like that later. But somebody gets maybe the easiest way is just walk it through timeline wise. Somebody walks into jail, you guys screen them right at booking. They're flagged yay or nay. Do you still offer it to the folks that didn't get flagged from the screening just in case? Or is it we're trying to focus on the ones that the screening identify?
We primarily focus on the ones that screen positive, but also we keep this in a spreadsheet. So everyone that books into jail, we have it on the spreadsheet to go back to and refer to. So if they've been arrested five times in the time that we've been in the jail, we'll make contact to see what's going on and what's this reoccurring recidivism, like what's the cause of that. We'll also look back because some will answer and it'll screen positive one time they booked in, and then the next time it's a negative screen when things like necessarily couldn't have changed, so we'll even touch base then.
And then they test positive and the therapist meets with them right away?
So we'll initially meet with them, see if they're interested. And then the way I function in Osage County is I see how long they're going to be in jail, if they're local to Osage County or the six others of our counties. Because our interns are the ones that see our intern therapists are the ones that see our clients in jail, do the no insurance piece. They also see the non-insured individuals out in the community. So there can be wait list depending on the community and how many interns we have. So if they're local, I definitely try to get them in with our services. And then if they're not local, we can start them with our services if they want, or I give them the option of an ESU intern because they can see them just as well. We work with Dr. Reeder at ESU to use their interns as well.
So we'll focus on the local first. So you guys meet with them and kind of map out a game plan of what their service is going to be, what their meds are going to be, et cetera, while they're in jail, and also what you're going to do for them or what Crosswinds is going to do for them as soon as they're released.
Yeah, and it's different in every jail on how we can function. basically, we meet with them, see if they've had services before, see if they're currently on medication, if they have that medication, or when the last time it was that they took the medication. All but two of our jails use our med clinic directly. So if someone's interested in medication, we'll get them an intake with the therapist, and then they're referred to our med clinic to be seen. Lyon County and Osage County have a nursing agency within the jails, and they like to handle medication until they feel like we need to step in and assist, and then we'll make the referral then. But so like Osage, if they want medication, I'll have them meet with the nurse, and I'll kind of touch base with the nurse saying, hey, this is what this individual said that they could use. Is this something we could start them on? And then we'll start we'll do the intake paperwork with them in jail, and then get them scheduled with the intern to meet, and they typically meet via Zoom.
So what other services will you connect them with then while they're still in jail? What do you look at?
So for me, it's a little bit different in my jails, specifically because Chase County houses immigration, the federal marshals, and locals. So what services we can offer for them is much different. So it just depends on, obviously, what facility I'm in. But we do try to connect our clients to whatever services we find they qualify for. SOAR is huge, and as long as they meet criteria for that, SOAR can help connect them with insurance, disability. What all does SOAR? All the things are like
they can help
the magic of it all.
To get the disability and insurance set up.
Yeah. So that's like a huge piece, but it's really important, I think, to get that groundwork of while we have them in the facility, to try to get all of the paperwork signed. So if we can be that kind of that key point for the SOAR team to get the signatures while we have them, and we try to do that. We try to connect them to, if we can get them in on maybe a wait list for a case manager, if we see that that would be beneficial to them when they get to the community, that's a huge piece for them as well, because sometimes functioning for them once they get released to remember that they have an appointment to go to is very difficult. So if they got a case manager on their side to remind them, hey, you got an appointment, just that small gesture for them is huge.
And we essentially act as the case manager while they're in jail, because we're trying to assist the next steps and like, what do you need? What do you need signed? So we're ready to go when they release. But really, while in jail, we can provide med clinic, therapy, peer support, and some case-by-case other services can come in and be provided as well.
Is there any group therapy while in those services?
So each facility, again, is a little bit different. We have different groups in different jails that come in. Our agency itself doesn't provide groups in the jails, but we've been able to suggest groups, you know, to our jail admins or whatever, and they've been very supportive and allowed us kind of to do that on our own and let other groups come in. So in Greenwood, I have, there's a domestic violence group that comes in. There's several groups that come in. So it just depends on what facility you're in and kind of how well you want to work with your agency, I guess. And
I was just wondering if the inmates get to hear stories of people that have been through the same thing they have.
And I think that key is setting them up with peer support. I had a client in Osage County that needed a little more contact than just the therapy every other week or whatever they had scheduled. So I set them up with peer support that was willing to go into the jail and not bill, because we can't bill while someone's in jail. And he's like, that really helps because it's someone that's been where I have.
Yeah, you're not alone.
Absolutely.
Talk about some of the other partnerships. Or is that most of them outside groups? And
we really partner with ESU for the therapy. Lyon County and Osage County partner with ACH for the medical piece. We're both in communication, Rachel in Lyon County and me in Osage, with our ACH nurses to be like, this individual is saying this, or can we look at med change for this because they're experiencing maybe like drowsiness or whatever it may be. We're communicating to best serve the client while they're in jail.
Any employment partnerships specifically you have to get you're looking at employment for them when they get out, or housing?
We can look into if they're interested in that, and we can refer them to make a referral to our housing specialist and employment specialist when they release. And that kind of also tags along with the case management too.
Okay.
But if it's someone's like, yeah, I would like to work, but I've had a hard time finding a job, or individuals that are homeless, we can refer to our housing specialist, Joe Reed, and start the ball rolling of what can we do for this individual? Can we find them a place? Can we find funding for them until they get on their feet with a job? And housing and the job aspect kind of go hand in hand, because you need one to have the other. But we work closely with those to help our clients, especially on the probation side even.
How helpful are the meetings with the law enforcement officers and the judges and those?
I think it's good because it's a platform, because we're not only just in the jails, but we're also trying to improve our relationship with law enforcement and the community, and how can we provide services or better what we're doing for law enforcement and our clients in the community. So I think it's a good place to discuss issues that have been seen, like this went this way, why was it like that? So they can have an understanding of why it happened. I get to level with them because I was in law enforcement for 9 years, and I saw the change from in-person screens to Zoom at the hospital and all that. And I didn't understand the mental health side of it and why things were done the way they're done. So being on this side now, I can help explain to them of this is why we have to do it, or this is why it went this way, to kind of help build that relationship. And
I can see where that'd be impactful.
Sure. Is there a stigma in law enforcement on mental health?
I believe there is. I can say it definitely has gotten better. It's improved, especially during my time in law enforcement. I saw a huge improvement, and even since, it's gotten a lot better with the peer support and just even our relationships with law enforcement of being like, hey, if you need to talk, we're here for you as well.
And probably them seeing that your guys' program is successful probably helps as well. Well, this is one way to treat it and keep these people out of the system itself.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't think I would even say just law enforcement itself. I think anyone in any job kind of get complacent in what they do. So I think just kind of reiterating, just being trauma-informed in our daily lives is really important. So if we can hold each other accountable in what we do and working together, and that's why forming these relationships and working together and partnering, and why we hold our meetings monthly and trying to partner together, is really important.
Yeah, I guess I should have phrased it as, is the stigma more inside the system itself than it is outside the system? Do judges realize that this is a way to keep their docket cleaner, is to activate these services, and law enforcement as well? I'm sure they have, especially you, Tara, with being in law enforcement before, you've probably seen it change dramatically in the last 10 or 15 years to this, the same as outside of the system.
Mm-hmm.
The stigma on mental health has changed dramatically. And I was just wondering, Is it similar to outside that you've seen that stigma change? Is once you guys have been in the seven surrounding counties here, or is everybody on law enforcement and all the court staff, et cetera, aware of the services that you guys provide and how successful it can be for someone?
And I think most of them are, and we've seen some successes, and we try to definitely touch on those at meetings so everyone can know, like, what happened after our contact. Like, if probation says, hey, so-and-so might need your services, or a judge or something like that mentions it, we've had successes. And even with mobile crisis starting to function, they're even a bigger key on that out in the public, because they can come out and assist with someone as opposed to like law enforcement being there, as long as it's safe for an extended amount of time. So I think us being able to even help in the jails with someone in crisis alleviates that from jail staff having to deal with that. Because we can try to get rapport and get them calmed down and back to baseline, or assist with the screening if they're potentially needing hospitalized.
Take break number two here.
Yeah, let's take our second break. We'll come back and finish the program. You're listening to the On Air Chat on KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. We are live and local.
Warmer weather means it's time to tackle those spring and summer construction projects. When you need commercial dirt work, from demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis will give you a quality job. Bruce Davis Construction is proud to be involved in recent construction jobs, including the addition at Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendale, and the David Trailer Zoo. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 620-342-5001. Join Ron Thomas and Chuck Samples Monday through Friday at 7:15 for the Newsmaker segment. A different guest and topic daily on KVOE 1400 AM and 96.9 FM. Live and local.
KVOE live and local, and time now for a look at sports headlines being brought to you by Thurston's Plus Auto Body and Automotive. Call 620-342-2613 when your car needs help. You don't have to go where anyone tells you. Go where you want. Now from the 24-hour KVOE newsroom, and a look at all the sports you need, here is Blake Griffiths.
Bobby Witt Jr. finished 3-for-4, drove in 2 runs. The Royals nipping the Blue Jays 3-2 at Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City last night, taking advantage with all 3 of the Royals' runs, scoring as unearned. Michael Wacha didn't make it out of the 5th in the start for KC, giving up 8 hits, but the bullpen was great. They went 4 2/3 innings, giving up just 1 hit. Chris Stratton earning the win. James McArthur picking up his 5th save of the year with a 2-inning save. Same 2 teams tonight at Kauffman Stadium, right here on KVOE. Emporia High sophomore Allison Weiss recorded her 6th first-place finish of the season. She wins the Topeka West Invitational with a score of 241.60, 27 points better than 2nd place. Junior Brooke Monroe finished 6th. Final home meet of the season for the Lady Spartans is Thursday. It will be senior night, diving at 1 p.m., swim events at 4 p.m. after the senior night festivities. Emporia High seniors Sheldon Stewart, Jacob Simons recording a season-best finish on Tuesday at the EHS Invitational. A 2-2 record, they took 4th. They finished 6th as a team with 13 points. They're back in action Centennial League Championship Monday in Junction City. Emporia High softball snapped an 8-game losing streak. They sweep Highland Park 14-0 in 5 and 15-0 in 3 in their doubleheader. A couple of blowout wins for Emporia High baseball as they crush Wichita Independent 16-0 and 17-0 in 6 total innings. Emporia State baseball scored the last 5 runs of the game but lost the Turnpike tussle 9-7 at Washburn yesterday. Emporia State softball scored 3 runs in the first, never trailed, to end a 10-day layoff with a 4-1 win over Rockhurst on the road. That's sports from the KVOE Sports Desk. I'm Blake Cripps.
Thank you, Blake. Sports headlines brought to you today by Thurston's Plus Auto Body and Automotive at 708 Lantern Lane. Information available in the Yellow Book and on the web at thurstonsplusautobody.com.
Welcome back to the On Air Chat. Ron Thomas, Aaron Harder hosting. We have Tara Gifford and Chastity Zexer. They are criminal justice mental health liasons in the 7 counties that Crosswind serves. Let's talk a little bit about just what the reentry program that you got that Crosswinds is working on. Just what the exact details are, and the goals of it. Because there's you guys can obviously refer someone once they leave or go outside the fences, like Chastity said, but they need a little more resource than that. So what's Lindsay working on?
So it's very new.
Sure.
And early in the stage. We just got a referral sheet. So on it, it'll have, like, do they have insurance? What does their housing look like? The basic needs. And we can check that and send it to Lindsay. And obviously, we're going to help Lindsay because it's a lot to take on for seven counties. Hopefully, when this reentry program gets bigger, we can staff it more so it's not as much work and easier to be successful. But it's just really trying to recognize and assess what is needed for the client as they leave, and then maybe even assisting with that. Can we get you a ride to an appointment? Can we get you a ride to an intake? Let's make this referral to the housing specialist and employment specialist before you leave, so we're on their radar and getting, like, the releases of information that we need, so the communications can be had.
Are there any reentry programs outside of the mental health side of it that can be utilized as well, or are you guys kind of just starting something new? We basically release them from jail and say good luck is how it's been in the past?
In all of my jails, there's no reentry program established. So that's kind of why we're looking at creating this program, so that they have some starting point of something to help them while they're going to the community, and not just kind of booted out the door and said, here you go.
And that's the same across the board.
Yeah, that should be super helpful. At least you could have something to look forward
right.
to.
Yeah.
Because even our position starting, we have what we call hygiene bags. Like, there's deodorant, soap, clothes, that kind of stuff to provide to someone if they don't have anything. I've seen jail staff provide stuff if it's not clothing or a ride. Waubonsie County has jail staff that have given rides to the airport for people that are out of state and need to get home. Just like, and that's on them, like their personal decision. It's not the county or anything like that. So it's really who you can talk to and like who's willing to help. So I think our reentry program will help across all seven counties. And I'm sure we'll have the support as much as we can from our community partners as well, because we're bringing them on it too.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, I see it growing into whether they're using Crosswind services or not. Here are the next steps for you to try to re-enter into whatever community you're going to.
Absolutely.
So, Terrigan, what counties do you serve?
I currently have Osage County and Lyon County probation.
Okay. So do you see the impact you're making?
I do. I really do. Especially I see it more on the probation side because they have access to the more services because they're not in jail and that insurance piece. But even in the jail in Osage, the amount of, like, you've helped us a lot with this, or this has really changed.
Is there probation in Osage?
There is, and I'm working with them as well. I've met with clients up there with the probation officers.
Is probation required to be associated with all jails? Is there probation in Greenwood?
There is, yes.
Just less people? Staff-wise?
Honestly, I don't know that I would say less people. There's quite a few people on the probation caseload in Greenwood.
Even with the staff?
Are you only licensed in one county for probation, or could you be a probation officer in Lyon and Osage?
So I'm not, as far as like a probation officer.
Yeah, could they be a probation officer in multiple counties?
It's for the judicial district.
Okay.
Typically.
Okay.
Because my guy in Osage also has like Franklin County.
Okay.
So even with our outer counties, we're not necessarily dealing with. Because Chase and Lyon are together for probation, but every other county is like with someone outside of our service area.
Yeah, crosswind support network.
Yep. And so we can still have that communication of, hey, this person's releasing to Franklin County, Shawnee County.
Here's the crosswinds that serves those counties. Get them connected and
get them
back. I know one of the notes here really wants us to address recidivism. What can we do there? I mean, obviously, that's probably the main thing you guys are, or the one of the main things you guys are trying to fight is reentry into the system for the same reasons over and over. What can we do to address that?
Like we were talking at break, Lyon County, the six outlying counties is significantly different than Lyon County as far as resources go. And you really talk about those basic needs of like housing and that kind of stuff.
And that's,
Lyon County,
that's just sheer size.
Absolutely.
It's only because
right.
of size.
Yeah. Yep. So like there's no shelter for individuals that are homeless in our outer counties. And even during the winter time, it got to where Shawnee County, Sedgwick County, they weren't accepting individuals outside of the community. So it's really trying to find housing for them. Because if you're homeless in the wintertime, you're more likely going to reoffend to get back to jail because you at least have
three square
shelter
meals.
From,
sure.
Yep. And shelter from the weather and whatnot.
Interesting.
Right. And the other issue is we have a lot of people that are in custody and then they get sentenced and they may go to DOC, Department of Corrections, and they serve their sentence and then they release on parole. But the issue is they have to return to their county of conviction. So they may have to return back to our, say, Greenwood County, but they have nothing there.
Oh, okay.
So again, they're faced with no housing, no job, they can't get a job because they're a felon. I mean, and there's not a lot of jobs in Greenwood County that's going to hire that. So it's just a vicious cycle. So then it's just finding them that they released back to our community, trying to connect them back to care, get them back on medications, get them back on our services. And that's, again, where the reentry program will really come into play. And I think close that gap that we've been missing for so long. So if we can keep them on our radar that they were in our care when they were in our facility before they went to prison, and then we are aware that they're releasing soon, we can catch them before they release and try to help them find some type of housing, maybe some job, and then get them on medications before they leave out that fence. We're getting them on a better start rather than getting them in the community and then they've already on a bad foot.
Well, and if they're accepting to, if they're willing to accept services from outside of the fence, then there will be somebody watching over them as long as they keep up with their appointments and keep on their meds within crosswinds as well. It's just got to be a huge help for these folks.
Mm-hmm. Right. And a lot of times it's just them feeling like they have somebody that's on their side and not always against them. When you just have a conversation with them, sometimes it's just the feeling that everyone's against them and, you know, they don't have anyone that's kind of rooting for them. So if they have that support, that case manager, that peer support worker, that whatever that we can offer them that they know they have is very helpful.
What's the future look like? What are you guys' hopes?
Definitely growing our services and what we can provide in our community, even outside of the jail, what we can help our clients with once they release. So the reentry part, and hopefully we get big enough to where we can get more staff to make that more obtainable and easier to function.
Well, we asked Tara this. Chastity, do you feel like you're making a difference?
I do. Sometimes it's a little bit easier to see in the smaller jails, of course. As I mentioned, you know, one of my jails is different just because it houses a different population. And it's more difficult to see any difference when they're being deported, you know, or going to the Bureau of Prisons. So you don't really see any successes, really, because I don't get any follow-through much from them, besides just being hopeful that they're continuing services once they get to the Bureau of Prisons or once they get to their new country, you know.
Hopefully they're offered.
Yeah. Yes. So I can just be hopeful. But yes, I do have see successes in other communities and stuff. So I do see growth. Also see where we need to grow more. So I'm looking forward to the future and making some more changes.
Well, you certainly believe in what you're doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you both for what you do. Appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. What can somebody do to contact and find out more about this program?
They can go on our website, crosswindsks.org, or call us at 620-343-2211, and probably be connected to one of the liaisons if they have any questions.
Well, Tara, Chastity, appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for listening to the On Air Chat. We've been brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction. For commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more, call Bruce Davis Construction, 620-342-5001. That'll wrap it up for the On Air Chat here on KVUE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. We are live and local.
We want you to feel good. Tune in for Feel Good Friday.
Making you feel good.
Friday after the local news during the 7 a.m. and 5 p.m. hours on KVOE 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.